Community Academy text line 989-73. 989-73. The wooden wagon has been put off, and we're having Alex Jones. It's the only place he can get work. Not getting paid, by the way, Tom.
That's the best kind of work for him.
He just said, you'll appreciate this. It's hot.
Yeah.
He is barefoot, although it doesn't sound like it.
Oh, wow. Hot coals, I hope.
The teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. It's not a small jar. It's a heavy jar. And she herself is quite zoftic. So,
look at these beautiful flowers.
Life is fiery with its beauty. It's incredible detail.
Right.
They want to shatter your mind.
Wait a minute.
Talking about Justin Bieber.
Yum.
Justin Bieber.
One was wearing off on the other. Have you noticed that? There's something going on with those two. Online Trading Academy, thank you very much for sponsoring our text line at 989-73. So, lots to go with the fact that, do you feel Alex the excitement in the air?
Alex Jones is Sisyphus. That's how I like that new image we have of him.
Pushing?
Yeah.
You all right
he
with that,
be
then?
Pushing the wagon.
You throw this ball through the hoop. A basketball.
What is it?
A soccer ball.
Hey, Danny.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Where are you? Like down the hall?
No. I'm at home.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for making
it's like
the
three effort. Blocks away.
Sounds like it. And you're not using a phone. Okay.
So, I am using a phone.
Okay. Well, listen, the Seahawks, that's the preseason. What would you say the average Seahawk fan on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, just over the moon, can't believe it, we're going, you know, if you win this game, we go to the Super Bowl, that's a 10. Where is the average Seahawks fan on a day like this?
About a good solid 4, right?
Okay.
There's a football game that's going to be played here.
Okay.
It's a fake game, but there's going to be players out there. There will be tackling. This will be the best football they've seen in about a good solid 7 months. So okay. I think a good solid 3. They're looking forward to it, but this is kind of what makes sports great, right? Is the risk that you take in it.
Yeah.
And there's not really much of a risk here because anything bad that happens in the preseason, you're just like, oh man, it's just the preseason. They're working the kinks out.
Uh-huh.
They're not doing anything exotic on defense. They're playing it very vanilla.
Uh-huh.
And anything good that happens, you're like, oh, man, did you see that? We're going to be so much better at that this year. Did you see that? That's just the preseason, man. Imagine what it's going to be like in the regular season when we start doing it for real, man.
Wow.
So explain to me why we won't see a lick of Russell Wilson. We're making a big deal about the fact that we've never had a game at Century Field since he took over that he didn't play. Is there any significance to the fact that he isn't playing this game?
Yes, it means that Pete Carroll's finally smartening up and realizing that the risk of playing your best player, your quarterback, in the preseason game drastically outweighs any reward that might come from the people being excited to see Russell throw the ball and the sort of the quote-unquote working on chemistry that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's actually, you could make an argument that it's way more necessary to learn about the two backup quarterbacks they have,
sure.
whom you hope never play this season, because that's actually potentially important evaluation time, right? Of how do these guys know the offense? How do they handle a huddle situation when they're asked to call the play at the line of scrimmage? You know how Russell Wilson's going to play? Doesn't mean that it doesn't matter at all. I don't care if he doesn't play a minute the entire preseason.
We know there's not going to be much to talk about because Brock Huard, who I think is doing the announcing on the game, asked if we wanted a shout out on the air. Tom's
Tom
like,
and Curly show.
He goes, no, I'll mention the name of your show. So it's going to be a low bar. To me, I always see the preseason is if we're going to a restaurant and the waiter comes over and the first thing is, this is compliments of the chef. And it's like a little mushroom with some cheese on top. And you're like, yeah, okay. And you just gobble that thing down. Oh, compliments of the chef. Really? Hey, chef didn't even. Somebody else made that. It's just this little thing that starts it all off before you do the regular ordering.
Sort of like the bread and water that I normally
get. How dare you malign the amuse-bouche? The amuse-bouche is a little treat that's provided to you. And here's John Curley like, oh, I just think that this is just, something left over that he just whipped up. That is their special treat to you. Maybe John's so fancy that he gets amuse-bouches wherever he goes. He's just showered with amuse-bouches.
My hunch is he's never heard amuse-bouche mentioned before, especially on the radio.
Is amuse-bouche the new guard that we're looking for, the offensive lineman, amuse-bouche? Is that who you sound? Picked him up from the Titans. Job. Thank you. Is there any sort of
ever tell you that you're pretty funny?
Thank you, Danny. Are we looking at battles? Is there anybody battling it out for a position? They always talk about that. Or are you telling us QB,
the quarterback, backup? Right. Backup. I mean, only one of those guys we're going to keep, right? Paxton Lynch or Geno Smith.
Yes, backup quarterback is a great. It'll be a fun thing to watch tonight because you can watch and evaluate the quarterback. It's tougher to evaluate the offensive line. It's strange to say, hey, the guy who's got the most on the line is the player you hope never plays a minute the entire season because you want Russell Wilson to be there.
Right.
The other spot is wide receiver, and Tyler Lockett is going to start at one of those spots. The other starting spot is very much up for grabs. Jerron Brown, David Moore are two guys who are kind of leading that charge. There's another rookie named Gary Jennings and DK Metcalf. What's so interesting about wide receiver is that you've got a group of about seven guys, and one of those seven guys is going to end up being the starter, and three of those seven guys are probably not going to have jobs on the regular season roster when the year begins. That's going to be a great competition, and I do think that there's an opportunity tonight to see who really separates themselves out of that group. There's a guy named Malik Turner, who wears number 17, who's really made great strides. Another guy, Keenan Reynolds, who's number 19. He's a graduate of the Naval Academy. Really inspiring story. You could ask him what he does in the Naval Reserves, and he really wouldn't be able to tell you because it has something to do. There's some crypto something. It's not cryptocurrency because that's some sort of, I don't know, weird financial fad that's going on. But he's a really, really interesting person. This is his fourth year in the league, and he's got a lot of experience. He's fun to watch. And DK Metcalf, if he plays, he's had a strained oblique. And so I'm not sure how much you'll see him, but he's a rookie. He's absolutely physically everything you would want in a receiver and someone who has a tremendous possibility, but he's still a pretty raw player as well.
How many games did the Seahawks win preseason last year?
Ooh, I have no idea. I'm going to go with zero.
They lost them all.
They took an over.
Wes, yeah. We lose to the Colts, we lost to the Chargers, lost to the Vikings, and lost to the Raiders. We still end the season
playoffs. That prompted a title change on Pete's book. It's called now Win Forever, parenthesis, except the preseason.
Hey, Danny, I got a quick question about the defense. There are 32 teams in the NFL. Where would you rank them, 1 through 32? How bad is our defense?
17 right now.
Okay, so middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack with room to go either way, and I'm not sure which way it's more likely for them to go. They're very young, very unproven. They traded, in many ways, the guy that people considered to be their best player, certainly their most valuable player, in Frank Clark.
Yeah.
One of their other best players, Jaron Reed, is going to be suspended for the first six games for a violation of the personal conduct policy. There's a lot of uncertainty. They also have a lot of young players. And I think that the defense is very much like what Russell Wilson was in 2013, where you've got one side of the ball that you felt was pretty well equipped. Seattle's got a Super Bowl caliber offense if they have an above average defense.
Okay.
But we don't know anything about this defense. We don't know if their defense is ready to go or not. They could be very good because it's a bunch of young players. They could be very bad because they don't have much experience.
Top five offense?
It could, very much could be.
Wow. And if we'll ever...
Danny. It's a preseason game.
I'm still here.
We've gone 9 minutes on this. It's a preseason game.
I know, but we got
You're the one that asked me on, and now you're trying to play me off just because I'm not in the building?
Well, it's partly that. The connection sounds like crap. And it's 11:15. We're trying to keep listeners.
Thanks,
you guys,
Danny.
Are ESPN. Thanks, Danny. You throw this ball
to the hoop. Got a lot of I love them on there. You know that. So we have the 17th best defense and the 5th best offense. That's a lot of information.
So while he was talking, I looked up at this whole article. And for the Seahawks, the preseason games actually do matter. This guy's going on this big, long list of like all the stuff we're supposed to be looking for.
Yes, but not to win the games. They matter because we are so open. You know, you compete every play.
Did you thank Danny? I didn't mean to make him go away.
I did.
He's not mad. Okay, good.
Yeah, he's going to leave town, I think, just because he's so mad at us.
He said it's a 4 out of 10 as far as excitement is concerned. Yeah. Let's see. The sidelining of the national stage, U.S. governors are frustrated. That's right. They're frustrated because nobody seems to care about them anymore. They don't get any attention. By the way, Mayor Pete, we found out today, guess what instrument he plays?
The oboe.
No.
The lute.
Didgeridoo.
The didgeridoo.
Yeah, that's
oh, that's fantastic.
Of course he does.
That's hilarious. Of course he does. That's. I think it's a really interesting article about how governors had normally been sort of like the go-to candidates for both parties. Mm-hmm. Remember, Jimmy Carter was a governor. Ronald Reagan was a governor. Bill Clinton was a governor. George W. Bush was a governor. Governors were seen as the go-to people because there's always a mess in Washington, and you need an executive who comes from outside of Washington, and they were always seen as the ones that could act with experience and kind of clean up the mess. But they say that Donald Trump has completely rejiggered things. Mm-hmm. Because he is such an agent of chaos and or change or both, that right now all of the action seems to be in D.C.
Yeah.
You're either responding to Trump or in support of Trump. And so now the governors all are kind of approached in terms of the media attention. They're bored. They go, well, they're out on their individual islands. We want to know where the action is. The action is in D.C. And so senators are getting a lot more play, or, you know, big name figures are getting a lot more play than a lot of these governors. And they mentioned, yeah, in years past, Hickenlooper and Inslee and Bullock might be getting more attention, but now they're kind of seen as irrelevant, and they think it's because of what Trump has done to the national conversation.
There we go. Good. Another good thing he's done.
You don't like governors?
No, I don't mind governors, but okay. the argument, as you've said, has always been these mm-hmm. people knew how to run a budget,
yes.
right? They were responsible
yes.
for budget, and they would have to make decisions. Very similar, reflecting the executive branch, where you had two houses,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
you'd have to try to get people to work across party lines and things like that. And
so
then the other part of it was, well, the governor, what state was it? And was the state a red state or a blue state? Did you have enough of a purple sort of feeling mm-hmm. that you could have that person springboard out of that state and then make a legitimate run at the presidency? So, yeah, they're like, hey, we're still relevant. The skills mm-hmm. we have are irrelevant.
Yeah.
People are like, no, look at this. We can do it with a reality show host.
Yeah, the thing is that now it's gotten so partisan that now being a governor, being somebody who works on both sides, isn't as viscerally as exciting as a national figure.
I don't know where he is in the polls, but this might help. Bernie Sanders was talking yesterday with Joe Rogan about aliens.
Well, we just did an hour, sir, so I'm going to let you go because I know you got very important things to do. One last question. If you got into the office and you found out something about aliens, if you found out something about UFOs, would you let us know?
Well, I'll tell you. My wife would demand that I let you know.
Is your wife a UFO nut?
No, she's not a UFO nut. It's just, Bernie, what is going on? Do you have any access to the records?
You don't have any access?
I don't. Honestly,
no?
I don't know.
Okay. You let us know, though?
All right. I'll be on the show. We'll announce it on the show. How's
Please.
That?
Please.
All right.
Please
you got
do.
It,
Okay, explain, because I didn't remember who Joe Rogan is. Explain who he is. Why might we know him?
He was the host of Fear Factor.
Okay.
Which he thought was going to last one season and then be pulled off the air.
Is that right?
And it didn't. And the contract stayed, and he got locked in, and he couldn't get off it. And he hated it. He hated every single minute of it. So then he refused to ad-lib. So he wore a thing in his ear called an IFB, interruptible feedback,
uh-huh.
and in the video booth, which was this like RV, they would press the button and tell him what to say. And he would just stand
and
there.
He would
robotically... And the guy would go, wow, I can't believe you're going to eat all of those maggots. And Joe would go, wow, I can't believe you're going to eat all those maggots. Oh, it was...
Now, how do you know this? Is this...
We went down there. We went when they first did Fear Factor. We went and did a thing behind the scenes. NBC flew us down there.
Yeah.
And then we're like, you know, Fear Factor celebrating its 1,000th ridiculous American eating, you know, a horse penis. So we went down for that. And I... sitting there, and I said to the producer, what's wrong with Joe? Is he in a bad mood?
Yeah.
And the guy then told me the whole story, that he hates the job. He thought it would be ending and over, and here he is every single day.
And now he has a podcast.
Of course he does. He's very popular.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
The Joe Rogan Experience. So anyway, Bernie, trying to loosen Bernie up a bit there.
I remember I said to Joe, how much money do you give them every day? Because the families come in, and they're there for like 4 days while they shoot these things. We give him $12 a day. I said, for food? He goes, it's Fear Factor, not Fun Factor. It's like, okay, angry man. Just shave your head and move on. Get yourself a podcast.
Yeah.
Bernie's basically saying, listen, I don't know. I'm not.
I'm not privy to that, but if I ever get privy to that, Joe, you'll be the first
but
to know.
But I thought Trump talked about this, too, that if he got in there, he would tell everybody where the UFOs are, and if there are UFOs, right?
Okay.
It sounds like something you might say, yeah. Probably on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast.
The future of the mall might be your college campus. If you go to Microsoft, Microsoft looks like a shopping mall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they got all sorts of stuff in there, and you can shop there at Microsoft. And now on another campus, college campuses, you have commerce occurring, and the stores are right there on campus, and the kids make an easy move to go into a little Target or some other place. And what they're trying to do is ultimately what, Tom?
The university wants to profit off the fact that they have, in effect, a captive audience.
Yes.
And so what they do is they make pitches to places like Target, Trader Joe's, Urban Outfitters, Publix. These kinds of operations say, listen, why don't you come in on campus even, or right near campus, mm-hmm. and build outlets, and then we will, in effect, give you a cut of the profits if you're servicing us, and or you can pay a fee once it takes off. This really is smart. They said the future of the mall might be the campus. The Targets of the world realize, okay, this is the first time that most of these kids are adults in terms of what they buy, that we can create shoppers for life at these stores.
Brand loyalty.
Brand loyalty through and through. So you get them early and go, oh, yeah, you know, and you have, even if it's you outgrow it, you have a kind of nostalgia for it. They tend to be stores. So Target stores are normally huge. Mm-hmm. These tend to be smaller options, but they cater to the college student. And they say it turns out to be a great thing. It was kind of a death knell for this one particular, I forget which university it was, where they just didn't have much retail. There was no business. They started encouraging giving deals to these basic operations. If they became so successful that they became hotspots, mm-hmm. other people now clamoring to get in. And it seems like it's the future of the mall may be dead in across America, but little mini malls for students are the way of the future, and it seems like it's a win-win for both the university and these businesses.
The only thing I remember at Ithaca College was the bookstore where you paid $300 for a history book.
Yeah,
You bought a sweatshirt. That was it.
And then
that was it. That was the only store. We had a pub.
Yeah, they
had a pub. But,
like a college inn.
But now
something.
You go to these colleges, and it looks like they've got a shopping mall attached to the school.
Yes. And you go to the little grocery stores around the University of Washington, you know, that clearly cater to them, and they have got all sorts of great options. Yeah, it's really a handy, and I think it makes a lot of perfect sense. Village projects, they call them.
All right, we'll find out how robots are racist. Now, if you had a white robot that would, go get something for you and bring it to you, right? Of course, you're not paying the robot. Now, if you had a black robot that was getting you stuff and bringing it to you, would that seem to be racist, right?
Yes, I know.
You can't win with your robots, I'm telling you.
A complicated issue. I think it's the robot users that are the problem, not the robots.
Well, CNN says robots are racist. We'll be right back. Lake Washington Windows and Doors. If you have windows and doors in your house, like most people do. I'm not saying you, Tom. I'm just looking in your general direction and coughing.
Hey, but I got a pillow now.
No, you don't. Not anymore. Andrew and I are going to take that thing and rip it apart and find out what's inside it.
Got to find it first.
Okay, now it's getting weird. Go to Washington Windows and Doors.
Where's Alex Jones?
It's getting weird. Like Washington Windows and Doors. If you got a crack seal or something's wrong with the door or the window and it's not sitting there right, Lake Washington Windows and Doors, come in there and fix that house. It's the biggest investment you've got. Yes.
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Oh, gosh. It is Thursday. Jacob, do we have pizza covered in cocaine today? Yes or no?
Yes.
We do. Okay. There is. Lots of it? Do we have lots of pizza covered in cocaine?
Yes.
Okay. So there's no problem that if somebody shows up early to get pizza with cocaine, there would be plenty of it?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Of that. It's amazing what the listeners want.
A musical accompaniment.
Robot is racist. That's according to CNN. They've looked at the color of these robots that are coming out of South Korea and other countries, and they say, why is it? Why is it that the robot is white?
Okay, first off, CNN doesn't say that. John, a
CNN
study.
CNN had the story.
CNN has a study. Right. Do we have sound from the study?
No, we don't need it. CNN did a story that robots
this is
are racist.
Study, yes, a study by the Human Interface Technology Laboratory in New Zealand, mm-hmm. which is just vague enough and far enough away that we can't double-check their figures. But the argument here is that, first off, most robots are white. Now, they may be painted white. They may be just white generalities. But whenever there is a human component to these mechanical objects, they tend to be white. And so that's a kind of prejudice because I assume that most of the people that are making them are white.
No, most of them are Asian, but go ahead.
Well, that's not in this this
who
particular
produces
thing.
Most
this
of the robots?
Study. New Zealand, apparently. They study it. Well, in a robots and racism study, they said that this could be a concern if robots are the default robot is white, because maybe it will end up picking up on racist tendencies that we have normally, and we would use that to impugn robots, much like we would do people in real life. How did they establish this? I think we've done these stories in the past where if you're doing like a shooting contest, like a shooting situation where you're pretending you're the cop or you've got a gun, you've got a kind of a, you see somebody, you know, jump out with a gun or without a gun. It turns out that with or without a robot, we tend to shoot the African American or the black more often than we do the white, you know, in terms of if he has a gun or not. More blacks without guns are shot than whites without guns, and that's kind
that's
of a natural prejudice.
Not by police, but by just
individual. Just in general, yes, in general societal standards.
Not by police.
And now they do that with robots, and they have the same kind of study that more black robots were shot, even though they didn't have guns, than white. So what they say is, what does this mean? Well, one of the things that they determined that we can actually cure ourselves, at least at the robot level, of robot racism, is how they dub it, if you have more diversity among your robots. And so what they did is they had light brown, dark brown, white, you know, kind of like a mixture. They say if you had a whole range of diversity of robots, then you don't tend to kill the, you know, the black robots more than the white robots. So the idea is if you have racial diversity among the robots, we would end up treating them more, you know, universally.
Right, we wouldn't kill
than
as many.
We would, yes.
That's
and so out of that, they come up with the catchy phrase, robot racism.
Okay.
Human biases extend to robots. That's the kind of the bottom line.
China makes them, then Japan, then North, then Representative Korea, and the United States makes 20 or 33% of robots, and then Germany.
33%.
Germany
though.
Makes, but it's mostly China, 59%, and Japan.
Well, you know,
as
and
well.
That's interesting, and I don't know, do those robots look Asian? If
no,
made
they
in
don't.
Asia?
They have. They determine they want to have big eyes to make them sort of you get like a baby's
Disney.
Face or like
yeah.
a seal's face. The big eyes in there. There's always a debate whether or not to make the things. Do you want to give it human characteristics?
Yeah.
There's a weird study that was done that if the robot looks too human and too cute, people stop it from doing its normal job, which is going around delivering something.
Yes.
They're like, oh, I want to get a picture with it.
Because they treat it like a person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it then they then begin to relate to it.
Yes.
There's a robot that you can get. It's I saw it in I stayed at this hotel in Sun Valley. And the robot comes to your door and delivers room
service
your
newspaper.
Stuff. The guy goes, we had to get rid of our first robot because everybody kept stopping it and taking pictures with it. So they've got this thing that looks just like a
R2-D2 or
CP3. It has no eyes, no nothing. It shows up and the lid opens up and there's your meal you ordered. Yeah. So that's right. The CNN is that everything is about race and the fact that if you are a robot. By the way, if you were a black robot,
it's not
so
CNN.
A white guy buys a black robot and then has it run all over and do all sorts of things
I think
for
that,
like pick cotton. Wouldn't that be upsetting to everybody?
I think that that would be another way to look at it. I don't know why CNN is just picking up on this study. The study was done. It's a legitimate study as far as we can tell. And when
Wait
we
a minute,
talked about,
you said it was not legitimate.
No. I asked Jacob to double check it because it does. It felt like it was superficial enough that it might not be legit. But he said he did. He looked it up. So
I saw an interesting article by Dennis Prager, and I probably don't like him very much. But he said, you know, as far as when you say to somebody, "Well, you're a racist," like, do you think you have more in common with a black conservative, Tom, or a white liberal? Would you have more in common with a black conservative or a white liberal?
Probably a white liberal.
Yeah, right. I would have more in common with a black conservative than a white liberal. And I would be. So then the question is, so if you're a racist, well, then you wouldn't want to associate with the opposite color. You would think that you're superior to those individuals. So you have decided, you've chosen the white liberal as opposed to the black conservative.
No, you
have more in common. So it's about commonality.
Politics.
Skin color.
Well, yeah, it could be. But the thing is, I might not have as much in common with a black liberal, for instance. Why is that? Because his life experiences, my life experiences, would be very different.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you to choose between a black conservative and a white liberal.
That's right. But I mean, the thing is, a white liberal, because I am a white liberal, so I'm going to have more in common with myself than not.
Okay, so then let's do white. Let's do a black conservative
liberal.
Or a black liberal.
Yes.
You want to choose the conservative. Who do you have more in common with? The views of a black conservative, Thomas Sowell or Jimmy Tucker? Or do you have more in common with
Jimmy
black-
Tucker? You're calling Jimmy Tucker a black conservative?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't think he would embrace that, would he?
I just want to see if he's going to write to me.
Just because he's a black John Curley, he told me, it didn't mean that he shared your politics.
He does.
But anyway. Okay.
Well, but honestly, you have more in common. So it's really not about skin color. It is about what you have in common with the individual.
Well, yes, to some degree. Now, it depends on something that's as central as politics. If it was something that was more more superficial, like, say, flowers. You know, what's your favorite flower? I don't care about flowers.
Everything's politics. Everything's politics.
Well, no, but I mean, when you ask him, but if you said, okay, so if your favorite flower is a rose, would you have something more in common with a white guy who loves roses or a black guy who, whatever? You know, I mean, the idea is that that's not really the main distinction.
That's not the question I gave you, and then not the parameters. The parameters,
right.
I'm just trying to prove
so
that it's, you could say to somebody.
Do I get along with a white liberal better? Probably, because I know him better, because I'm a white liberal.
Right. That's right.
That doesn't tell you anything.
Most of Americans, if you were to take, you know, this whole idea that everybody's racist, you ask that question of most of Americans. You say, hey, do you think you had more in common with this person with their political perspective or this person? Oh, and by the way, this person's skin color is this color and this person is this color. You would say, you know what? I'm teaming up with that guy.
Yes. But by the same token, I might have more in common with somebody from the Northwest than from somebody from the East Coast.
I got that.
So it could be a white person from the East Coast or a black person from Seattle. I might get along better with a black, or might identify more with a black person from Seattle, because geography also plays a lot
into
things.
You're proving my point perfectly, which is that it's not about skin color.
Who's
it's proving about relatability.
Point?
It's all about relatability.
Just
to consider that, we live in this horribly racist society. We don't. There are a few crackpots on one side.
No.
There are a few crackpots on the other side. But most Americans, if they can have something in common with that other individual,
that's right.
They can, you know, whatever. Hey, we're both Seahawks fans. You
that's
happen
right.
to be this color.
Exactly.
I happen to be that color. But it's the commonality that begins the conversation.
But it doesn't make you not racist. It just
no.
means that race isn't the only factor in determining how you relate
then
to people.
Then you have to redefine what racist is. If you just simply say, I will not associate and I want nothing to do with, I'm talking like old school, democratic, social, southern folks down there, you know, tying people up and dragging them behind cars. I'm talking about that pure 100%, you know, concentrated, I'm better than you and you're inferior to me, right? That kind of thing.
Okay.
That type of racism.
And what about it?
Well, I'm talking about that type of racism.
Okay.
You're just trying to say, well, everybody's got biases.
Well, the thing is, if most whites, and might even be true of most blacks, would kill an unarmed black guy faster than an unarmed white person in a test, it tells you something about our unconscious biases.
Yep. Luckily, that didn't turn out to be true for police officers. Thank goodness. Right back.
Well, we'll see.
Their partner, Senior Living, thanks for sponsoring a favorite part of the show. That are the letters from you, and here comes that mailman.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Teeny tiny lady.
You guys suck.
And that's not the teeny tiny. There's no way to start the letters. Teeny.
All right, John, we're going to start off with that big Durkin deal that you rained on so purposefully. The Mercer Mega Block 360. You might need to explain this. It sounds as though Curly plans on living 200 years.
I don't get it either.
We were kind of accusing them, the city, of being short-sighted. And that I think that's what they're
going to do. Why not leasing the land for 200 years?
I just threw this one out there. Okay. Oh,
okay.
John, already at a 10 on the snarkometer. Sure. 425. Leasing
the
land.
You didn't sell that letter, John.
You eliminate. What's that?
You didn't sell that last letter very well.
Leasing the land, you eliminate most developers. I did mention that developers don't like that. Most developers don't want to build on leased land, only to see the development taken away after the lease expires. Yeah.
Dell and Denton. I'm not angry. I'm just pointing out the obvious.
That's right.
Thanks, John, for the best line in my next heated discussion with my wife.
Nothing wrong with that. See how it does for you, Dale. SoulCycle owner 206. The average person most likely does not know how to look up a political donor's name. A politician clearly knows how to do it. It is their job.
And him in Seattle, when political donations became free speech, they became subject to the same scrutiny other forms of free speech endure. If you support an idiot with your money, expect consequences. This goes double for companies who want to pretend they have the same rights as individual citizens. Sorry, snowflakes, you brought the heat on yourselves.
That's right. Speech. Money is speech. SoulCycle owner continues 253. John, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought you were in favor of public shaming. Maybe Trump supporters are too sensitive for that kind of thing.
And 206, if we're okay with tweeting out private business contributions to campaigns, then make all votes public. I want to know who the heck is supporting Sawant.
All right. Why no one wants to talk about the economy. 253. John, consider the total wealth of a country might not be the best way to measure its health. The United States is one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and yet we have people living in literal slums in major cities, thanks to Democrats.
I don't think you listened. Larry in West Seattle.
I added that, by the way, 253. That last part.
Congress is broke. The president is broke. The system is broke. The only three things you can count on are death, taxes, and letters of the day.
You're saying Larry in West Seattle is swinging for the
fences
on this one.
I think he was bucking for the letter of the day for that one.
Didn't get it. Sigh. Let's see. Dora the Explorer. Ryan from Redmond. Ocean, hills, caves, princess. That's exactly how I met my wife.
And 253. Was it water, cave, mountain, princess? Or cave, water, mountain, princess? Or water, mountain, cave, princess? Oh, my head hurts.
425, John's mood today. He's really taking it hard that Tom hasn't taken home his pillow. It's true. Good
show
job,
sponsor 650. Bucky's. There are only 15 quick and convenient locations for automotive repair without despair. The shop in Federal Way is having a remodel due to the massive influx of customers thanks to this show.
Wow.
Is that right?
I tried to confirm that. They haven't said anything about it on their website, but according to 650, that's...
Wow.
Okay. We'll see.
206, regarding the nasty pillow comment, it looks like a Civil War bandage. I never heard that metaphor before, and it's awesome.
On robots, 425, if the robot is too cute, it would become a sex robot.
Does a robot have rights? Will a robot have rights? What do you think? Yes?
It depends on how sophisticated the AI is. Mm. Ultimately, I think it might.
Yeah. If it's empathetic to us, we'll be empathetic to it, and then we'll jump in the water and save it. Mr. 253 says, is my toaster and truck racist? Who cares about the color of the items in your home? We have an opportunity to build these badass tech things, and we're hindering that because of the color of the parts we choose. Let's all just calm down and let Jacob get whatever color sex robot he wants.
Bingo.
I'd be pretty excited to do something to the robot.
And 253, howdy boys, this is Hal Senior, the chain-smoking, morbidly obese, racist robot. Long time no text. So finally, talking about me and my friends, eh? Damn time. And hey, keep that Jacob away from me.
That's Hal Senior. Scott in Kent says robots should be all colors. They can be good, building only white robots, cause diversity among makes and models. This is why the
Decepticons
are upset with the Autobots and their different colors, as the Autobots are usually red.
Enough said.
I understood the first part, which is some guy from Kent, and then I just lost after that.
It's Transformers talk.
Okay.
On the former white nationalist that we talked about, 206, the problem is a lack of emotional intelligence and maturity. No one is teaching that. Perhaps it should be a larger focus in school, starting at an early age.
253, when is Tom going to sit down with a Trump supporter?
I do every day for 3 hours
a
day.
I'm not a supporter. I'm not a supporter.
Could have fooled me.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Comes from Jesse in Seattle.
Oh, wow, nice.
John Curley wakes up the morning well-rested on his MyPillow. Then he showers in a Muse Bouche and drives his Porsche into work. Such a fancy man. Ooh la la.
It's so unfair. I didn't even know what a Muse Bouche was.
Something to amuse your mouth, John. Literally.
Those compliments of the chef.
Yes.
out of time. Bye.
Bye.